أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I turn away from Shaitan, the cursed one. I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him. And we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided, and anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be aware of Allah with correct awareness, an awe-inspired awareness, a cautious awareness, and die not except as Muslims. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. وَمَنْ يُؤْتِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. In the opening verses of Surah Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, Show reverence towards your guardian Lord who created you from a single person, created of like nature, his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, I'm sure that many of you would have seen the picture on yesterday's front pages. Newspapers around the world have shown the same picture of a three-year-old boy whose dead body was washed up on a Turkish beach. Now, you know, we're all getting so used to seeing horrific pictures and being shocked and horrified. But even this picture went on to a higher level. This picture tells us so much about what's wrong with the world, and more importantly, what's wrong with ourselves. This picture sums up the human story, the human tragedy behind the headlines. Millions of lives have been affected by today's man-made disasters, from the Rohingya people in Burma, to Afghanistan, to Iraq, Yemen, Eritrea, Nigeria. Innocent people have been murdered, bombed, burned out of their homes, driven out of their neighborhoods in someone else's mad rush for power. The image of this little boy's body on the beach sums up our human failure to live and let others live. It sums up our collective failure to treat other people as fellow human beings, as equals, with dignity and with respect. It sums up our failure to show compassion to the most vulnerable people on earth. Allah will surely hold us all to account. My dear sisters and brothers, we only have a few minutes for the Friday khutbah, and we don't have the time or the scope to go and start pointing fingers of blame and going into the whole reason for what is happening out there. Things aren't always that simple. the reasons are quite complex. It isn't only about wars of wealthy nations for the resources of the poorer nations. That's one part of the story. But it's also about our Muslim leaders' failure, their corruption, greed and incompetence. And it's not only the leaders at the political level. Let's not fool ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters. Yes, in many Muslim countries, their rulers are oppressing fellow Muslims. But what about our own communities? What about our own families? What about our own homes? So many of us are behaving unjustly and behaving like tyrants in our own homes, towards our wives, towards our husbands, towards our children, towards our parents. We often complain about others out there, but how often do we look inside ourselves? And the Holy Quran warns us in a very stern warning in Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 11. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is within themselves. Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is within themselves. We all have an inner self, an inner state, a lower nafs and a ruh. And the ruh is always calling us towards higher and nobler things. Justice, beauty, compassion, mercy. But the nafs has got different levels, and the nafs al-amara biso is the nafs that clings to the earth and calls us towards earthly things, to anger, jealousy, hatred, lust. And this battle within ourselves, we have to, each and every one of us, have to battle with this lower nafs. And we have to let the ruh and the higher nafs, the higher self, prevail. The nafs al-lawama is the nafs that blames itself. And the higher state of the nafs is the nafs al-mutama'inna, which Allah Ta'ala calls us to obey. Now, my dear sisters and brothers, the mess that we see out there in the wider world is only a visible reflection of the mess that's inside people's hearts. Your hearts, my hearts, and hearts of every human being on this planet. And unless and until we start clearing up the mess inside, the mess outside will fail to be cleared up. If we Muslims were anything like our prophetic teachers, Nabi Muhammad, Nabi Musa, Nabi Isa, all those, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of them, and the noble companions, the Sahaba, if we were anything like those noble and illustrious predecessors, the world would not be in the mess that it is today. We need to cleanse and purify our hearts, as I say. And only when we allow ourselves to be guided by the nur, the light of Allah, that is already within our hearts, instead of being guided by our selfish egos, then only will things get better for us. I had a look at the UNHCR website last night, the United Nations Commissioner for Refugees. And they report that there are now over 50 million people who are refugees worldwide. 50 million. Half of them are children. And the main victims in this real life drama are always the orphans. When their parents are either killed or maimed or imprisoned, the poor orphans are left without financial and emotional support to sustain them. Now, what does the Holy Quran and our prophetic Sunnah teach us about orphans? There are numerous references in the Hadith and in the Quran, and we only have time to select a few. One of my favorite ayahs is Ayatul Bir in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 177. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا هُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It is not righteousness, or it is not being virtuous, simply to turn your faces towards east or west. But it is righteousness and it is virtuous that you believe in Allah and the last day and the angels and the book and the messengers, and to spend out of your wealth, out of love for Him, for your family, for orphans. Repeat, for the orphans, for the needy, for the wayfarer, for those who ask, for the freedom of slaves, to be steadfast in prayer, to practice regular charity, and to fulfill the promises, the contracts that you have made, and to be firm and patient in pain and suffering and adversity, and throughout all periods of panic. These are the people of truth, the muttaqeen, those who are cautiously aware of Allah. This is a beautiful verse. In one sweeping verse, we are told what a truly virtuous person is, a truly virtuous human being, who is a muttaqi, one who is cautiously aware of Allah. And it mentions orphans here amongst all the other categories. If we want Allah's blessings and if we want to draw nearer to Allah, if we want Allah to love us, then we must do what pleases Allah. And we must give and spend out of that which we love. The Quran says, you will not attain piety unless you spend out of that which you love. You love your money, you love all your precious time and so on, spend from that. But not from the stuff that you accumulate in the garage that you want to throw away that's, you know, no good to you anymore. But spend out of the stuff that you love, your money, your wealth, your time. And that is the way you prove your love for Allah. I'm reminding myself to, I'm speaking to you, but I'm also reminding myself about that. As we all know, Prophet Muhammad himself was an orphan. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father died before he was born. His mother died when he was a little infant. Surely, this must have been Allah's wisdom, that he chose his most beloved prophet to be an orphan, so that we can show millions of our orphans out there and tell them, you know what, Prophet Muhammad was also like you. He understood your pain. He understood your suffering. He understood your loneliness. Every orphan should know that Prophet Muhammad was just like them. The hadith literature tells us of the high status given to those who care for the orphan. Al-Bukhari narrated that Prophet Muhammad said, I and the custodian of the orphan are like this. He used his index finger and his middle finger. I and the custodian of the orphan are like this together in paradise. And he joined his forefinger and his middle finger together. Ibn Majah also reported on the authority of Abu Huraira that Prophet Muhammad said, the best Muslim house is the house in which an orphan is well treated. And the worst Muslim house is the house in which the orphan is badly treated. These prophetic hadiths show us clearly that if someone takes good care of an orphan, he is sure to enter paradise. In another authentic hadith, Abu Huraira narrates that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who looks after a widow and a needy person is like a fighter for the cause of Allah. Like someone who stands up for the night prayer, for worship, and someone who is always fasting. My dear sisters and brothers, caring for orphans and helping others to care for them is a guaranteed way to win Allah's good pleasure and to enter into paradise. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khairil mursaleen, Muhammadan nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad, kama salaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad, kama salaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim, fil alamin, innaka hamidun majid. My dear sisters and brothers, Subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi wa al-ghaniyyil azim. Glory to Allah, praise to Allah. There is no strength and no power except from Allah. My dear sisters and brothers, my own mother was only 33 years old when my father died. He was a lawyer who defended victims of injustice in South Africa. And he died after an exhausting 3 months legal battle in the courts. We children were rendered fatherless, homeless, and penniless within 2 or 3 days. My mother was left alone with 6 young children, ranging from 3 years to 14 years. She was still a beautiful woman, and she had many offers of marriage, but she refused them all. She told us, she gathered us together, and she said to us 6 children, "No man will love you children like your father loved you. Inshallah, I will take care of you on my own with Allah's help." My mother died last year at the age of 89. And I have absolutely no doubt that she is in Allah's Jannah for her sacrifice. She raised us all single-handedly, sending us through school, sending me and my sister to university, without the help of a welfare state. We were in a country that was defined by racial laws, and we were on the wrong side of the racial divide. We had no state help. There was nothing like your welfare state that you have here in Britain in those days. Maybe some of you also have similar stories of family, friends, or people you know, mothers who had sacrificed so much against all the odds and raised their children single-handedly. Our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised the widows whose husbands die and who refuse to remarry so that they can raise their children without risking bad treatment from a stepfather. Allah alone knows the hardship that such widows must endure. Imagine, my dear sisters and brothers, how precious the orphan is in Allah's eyes. Allah guarantees paradise to the ones who care for the orphans. Allah guarantees paradise to the widow who refuses to remarry, fearing that her next husband may not be good for her children. Such women are praised by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Auf bin Malik al-Ashjahid narrated that Prophet Muhammad said, "I and a woman with dark brown cheeks will be like these." He again used these two fingers on the day of judgment. This is a widow, although she is beautiful and noble, who devoted herself to her orphans after her husband's death, until they became strong enough or they died. The scholars of hadith tell us that a woman with dark brown cheeks, as we heard in this hadith, is a widow who refused to remarry after she became pale with hard work and sorrow and her cheeks became dark brown. These hadith clearly tell us how much Allah loves those who care for the orphans. They raise their children with love. They trust in Allah, tawakkul, and they cultivate healthy iman, healthy faith in their children's hearts. Dear sisters and brothers, you and I should be like this, side by side with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah Firdaus, no less, if we take care of the orphans, near and far. On the other hand, those who neglect orphans or who treat them harshly can risk incurring Allah's displeasure. As we all know in Surah Al-Ma'un, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدْعُ الْيَتِيمِ. Have you seen the one who denies the judgment day? It is the one who drives away the orphan. My dear sisters and brothers, let us not by our carelessness and our lack of compassion fall into this category. Never neglect the suffering of orphans. thousands, no, millions of orphans are waiting out there to be loved, to be cared for, to be fed, to be clothed and educated. They could be your own children. They could be your own grandchildren or my grandchildren. But for the grace and mercy of Allah, this could happen to anyone. We have no guarantees that we will always have a life of security and comfort and wealth. We cannot and we should not be indifferent to the plight of orphans anywhere in the world. Let's do what we can to help. After the prayers today, we have a collection for Iraqi orphans that our community has been supporting for the last several years now through the charity Human Relief Foundation. Please, I beg of you, be generous, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't skimp, don't be afraid. Allah Ta'ala will give you more than you need if you're generous. Let us send a loud and clear message to orphans everywhere that they are not alone, we have not forgotten them. Let them know that we care, and we ask Allah to bless our efforts and to infuse our efforts with His barakah so that the benefits of our work can be magnified many, many times over. Say Ameen. Dear brothers and sisters, to conclude our khutbah, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونِ وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Surely Allah commands justice, good deeds, and generosity to others and to relatives, and He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion. And He instructs you so that you may be reminded. And remember me, I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith, says Allah. And without doubt, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and Allah knows the deeds that you do. Ameen. Aqim as-salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.